Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host the Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game after post-game live this season. NBC Sports Chicago, your exclusive home for all 82 Bulls games. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls, and you can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. Hit us up on Instagram, Locked On Bulls, or Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And that text and voicemail line for you, always there for all Bulls thoughts, questions, comments for our mailbag episodes, 331-979-1369. Drop us your texts and your voicemails. Thoughts on last night's game? Disappointing outcome as the Bulls fall to the Charlotte Hornets, 126-125, despite having a 10-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. As I said, I'm Matt Peck, holding down today's show solo, breaking down my biggest takeaways from that season-opening loss to Charlotte last night. Couple of things that immediately jump to mind. Talk about the dominant performance we saw from Lauri Markkanen. Talk about a couple of questionable Jim Boylan decisions during the final stretches of this game. And then also a really impressive NBA debut from the Bulls' 7th overall pick and rookie, Coby White, playing back in his old stomping grounds, North Carolina. So, obviously, the result is disappointing, considering the supposed strength of the opponent. I mean, you look at Charlotte Hornets starting five coming into that game, and you think, the Bulls got to win this game. Should be an easy win. No offense to that Hornets roster that is now without Kemba Walker and without Jeremy Lamb, and their big offseason addition, Terry Rozier, did next to nothing. Like 7 points on 3 of 10 shooting last night. So certainly the result is disappointing, but if there is one massively positive takeaway from this game, it is the performance we saw from one Lauri Markkanen. We were talking about our moderate level of concern. I think I touched on it at length in one of my solo shows last week about Markkanen's lack of aggression and lack of offensive versatility in the 4 preseason games he played. A lot of expectation on the shoulders of Lauri Markkanen coming into his third season. Can he make a big jump in his development, really assert himself as a dominant big, stretch big in this league, and, you know, take that 26-12 month of February he had last year and stretch something close to that over an entire season? And in the preseason games, it was basically just the floor-spacing 7-foot shooter. Markkanen took more than half his shots behind the 3-point line, and we didn't see those other elements to his offensive game. And we are wondering, like, is something up? Is he kind of, like, maybe playing things low-key? Is he nursing an injury we don't know about? Is he just kind of taking his time to get into the season? What's going on? And there was some concern. I wasn't, like, panicking about it, but I was definitely, if there were anything I were concerned about in the preseason other than the team's defense, it was Lauri and the fact that he just looked kind of detached from the team's offense. Holy Lord, did that change in their first game that actually counted. Markkanen tied his career high with 35 points on 13 to 25 from the field, not to mention pulling in 17 rebounds, five of those coming on the offensive glass, dished out two assists and added a steal as well. And here's the kicker to me. Markkanen dropped 35 last night despite going 1 of 7 from downtown. That has been, for the most part, the more reliable part of his offensive game in his NBA career. Certainly was the only thing he had cooking in the preseason, and he completely flips the script. I don't know if he was just kind of hiding the other elements to his game, waiting for the games that actually count to put his full offensive arsenal on display, but we saw all of it against the Hornets. We saw him, when his teammates recognized mismatches, going to work and dominating, working out of the post. We saw him hit like the Dirk's mid-range step back. We saw him hit running sky hooks. We saw him hit a running floater down the lane. We saw him drive baseline. We saw him take guys off the dribble. As I mentioned, the five offensive board, he got some nice easy putback buckets too. He had a couple of nice dunks, moving off the ball, making an off-ball cut. Everything, including my favorite, that patented drag step move that he showed us last season that is virtually unguardable. All of that was on display after disappearing in the preseason. I mean, if Markkanen's three-point shot was falling, we would have been talking about him having a new career high and a 40-plus point game last night. And the rebounding. My God, the rebounding. We keep hearing Boylan talking about Markkanen and how he wants him to be a better, more aggressive rebounder on both ends of the floor, but especially allowing his defensive rebounds to help his offensive game get going, knowing that Markkanen is fully capable of bringing the ball down the court himself. 35-17, just a gargantuan performance for Markkanen last night. It's a shame that it went to waste on a night when the Bulls couldn't get the W. But it is really nice to see, after Zach LaVine looked virtually flawless in the preseason, LaVine had a bad night, his first game of the season. 17 points, 7 of 17 from the field, or 16 points rather. It was nice to see that of the dynamic duo that we're all hoping that this team is building around, that when Zach has an off night, Lowry can be just as dominant, if not more so. And again, doing it on a night when his outside shot wasn't falling. Got to the free throw line 10 times, went 8 of 10 from the free throw line. All of those elements of the Markkanen's game that we've seen glimpses of through his first two seasons, he put the full show on last night. And it was honestly a little sigh of relief from my nagging little concern based on what we saw from him in the preseason. And it reaffirmed my opinion that I have had about Markkanen since he just came crashing onto the scene his rookie year as a guy who can be an elite all-star talent in this league, could be an all-NBA kind of talent in this league. It's just about whether or not he asserts himself and is aggressive enough to demand the ball and command that respect. Starting to get a little bit more respect from the officials. I think the Bulls, Markkanen and LaVine, I think both suffered from some non-calls late in that game. So did Wendell Carter Jr. for that matter. But if Markkanen continues to assert himself on the offensive end, especially working from the block and doing damage in and around the rim, he's going to continue to get calls. And as my buddy John Sabine, lifelong Mavs fan, was talking about last night, it took Dirk a while to figure out that he could add that part to his game. Six or seven seasons, in fact. But that once Dirk figured out that he could get to the free throw line 8 to 12 times a night, that's how you become that next elite-level scorer in this league. We saw Markkanen do that. We saw Markkanen do a lot of great stuff last night. So that, despite the loss, is my biggest takeaway. Now to the ugly stuff. But before we get to the ugly stuff, quick shout out to our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you use promo code Locked On at checkout. Now, my biggest issue with last night's loss, and there's a lot of reasons to not even believe that the Bulls lost this game, other than the fact that the Hornets had a franchise record-setting night behind the three-point line. They went 23 of 44, 52.3% from behind the arc on 44 attempts. They got seven threes from the rook, P.J. Washington, who looked real darn good. Marvin Williams, at one point, was 5 of 5 from downtown, all of them just in a barrage in the third quarter. And Devontae Graham, I wonder if he was on Jim Boylan's scouting report, but he poured in 23 off the bench, including 6 of 7 from deep. So despite the fact that the Bulls had like a 30-point edge over Charlotte in points in the point, points in the paint, despite that they had an edge of 10 plus in the rebound category, despite the fact that they committed 7 fewer turnovers, despite the fact that they got to the free throw line more and made more free throws, basically every category the Bulls outplayed Charlotte, except they couldn't guard the 3-point line. Could not guard the 3-point line. And yes, some of that is, wow, nobody would have expected Charlotte to be that efficient from downtown. Probably won't have many nights where your opponent hits 20-plus threes on 40-plus attempts, but it happened. And the Bulls were exposed in their lack of closeouts and their poor rotations. Some of it, I think, is still a limited amount of chemistry with the people on this roster. And the fact that all five of those players have to play on a string on the defensive end, and the Bulls were just a half second or a second too slow on rotations. And credit to Charlotte, they moved the ball around that perimeter really well. And the Bulls were struggling with rotations and not getting there for closeouts. And more than 50% of the Hornets' attempts were wide open based on NBA metrics of no defenders being within 6 foot of the shooter. 39 of the 44 three-point attempts from Charlotte were deemed to be at least open, meaning no defenders within 4 feet of the shooter. That can't happen. You can't give your opponent 44 looks from three, most of which were either open or wide open. On top of that, the transition defense was really bad. The Bulls were exposed all night in transition, and if the Bulls are going to play a faster pace this season on the offensive end, that's going to be a potential consequence. You got to get your butt back on defense. The Bulls didn't do that last night, and for all of the talk from Jim Boylan about really amping up and improving this team on the defensive end, they didn't back it up last night. Some of it's on the players, and some of it's on Boylan. And coupled with the defensive issues, which, you know, other than health, would be the biggest concern for this team's overall ability to compete this season, I had some real issues with Boylan's rotation late in this game. You know, a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, you know, Luke Kornet's getting cooked out there. He's awful. Why aren't you playing Gafford instead? I think with that particular example, you're missing the forest for the trees. Yeah, Luke Kornet had a bad night, but he only played 7 minutes. He had like 2 short stints, both of which were in the first half, and then he never played again. But to me, it was Boylan's fourth quarter. And the Bulls build up this 10-point lead with just over 6 minutes left, and everything comes crashing down after that. Credit to Chris Dunn and his defense for contributing to that Bulls run that allowed them to take that 10-point lead in the fourth that should have put this game away. But in my opinion, Boylan left Chris Dunn out there too long. It wasn't until the 2:17 mark of the fourth quarter, when that 10-point lead had completely vanished, that Boylan put Thomas Satoransky back on the floor in place of Chris Dunn. And in that time, What did we see? We see Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn clashing offensively, the ball sticking offensively, turnovers, a 24-second shot clock violation for crying out loud, a bad ATO and a bad three-point attempt from Zach coming out of a timeout. All these things where the offense just falls off, the wheels fall off. Boylan said after the game, you know, the ball got stuck there in the fourth quarter. And there's plenty of individual blame when you're going, you know, possession by possession. Zach over dribbled a little bit. You know, the 24-second violation came mostly as a result of not taking an open shot when you have one, and then all of a sudden Chris Dunn finds the ball in his hands and he can't shoot, doesn't feel confident taking the shot. And we know that this LaVine-Dunn chemistry is non-existent because of what we've seen since they arrived and have played together. And for Boylan to say after the game, well, yeah, like the ball just got stuck a little bit there at the end of the game. Hello? Maybe put Satoransky back on the floor. Because you know what happens when he's on the floor? The ball doesn't get stuck. The ball moves. And I, you know, don't talk to me about, well, you know, Satoransky, what did he do? He was 1 for 5 for 2 points and only had 3 assists, you know, on the game. That doesn't matter. You're looking at the wrong stuff if you're looking at Satoransky's box score when making the argument for who should be on the floor to close the game. The Bulls' offense just disappeared, and they just started doing bad one-on-one possessions. And guess what? That doesn't happen when Satoransky's on the floor. That's why I'm putting most of this loss on Jim Boylan. Zach LaVine had that, you know, he called a brain fart. He did say after the game, as did Boylan, that they were trying to get a three-point look when LaVine instead opted to go for the two at the basket to trim the deficit from 3-1 with still like only 5 seconds left on the clock, and the Bulls didn't have any timeouts left. So they couldn't advance the ball. They had to foul. You know, Charlotte just kills the clock by throwing it back into the backcourt and then chucking the ball up. That's game over. So, yeah, Zach should have taken a three on that possession. But, what did Jim Boylan tell them on his last timeout when he had one? And for the love of God, can somebody teach Jim Boylan how to use his timeouts appropriately? For crying out loud, it should not be that hard to have a timeout in your back pocket in a close game when you need a timeout. And yet still somehow, it seemed like every time when Charlotte was making a run and Boylan should have used a timeout earlier in the game, he didn't. How does he not take timeouts when he should and then also not have timeouts left at the end of the game? How are both of those things possible simultaneously? It makes no sense to me. Ugh. Goodness. Sorry. If you can't tell, I'm a little upset about how that game finished last night. Despite the historic shooting from Charlotte, that should have been a win. 10-point lead halfway through the fourth against that opponent. You have to close that game. Zach had a bad night. So maybe it shouldn't have been Zach trying to close that game. Maybe it should have been Markkanen getting more looks. And Markkanen did get to the free throw line a couple times late in the game, but that was already after the Bulls had coughed up the lead and were trying to claw their way back. Markkanen had the hot hand all night. Markkanen was getting damage done at the rim all night. And you just take turns going one-on-one with Zach, who's having an off night, Chris Dunn, who shouldn't have even been on the floor at that point, and Satoransky sitting on the bench while Jim Boylan is watching his team's offense, you know, deal with getting the ball stuck. And then you don't have a timeout at the end of the game when you need one. Failure to coach. Boylan called it a failure to execute down the stretch. I call it, yes, that, but also a failure to coach. A lot of doubts about whether Jim Boylan actually has the chops to coach at the NBA level and be more than just the rah-rah, pure heart, Bulls across the chest, grit, spirit, and toughness guy. Last night, in his first opportunity to show us that he can find a way to win find a way to coach his team to a win in a close game on the road. He failed. Fell flat on his face. Hopefully he gets better as the season progresses. Before we end today's episode on a positive note, Coby White's NBA debut, wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners that they should be gambling more. You know what my favorite part about this time of year is? It's hoodie weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some of us, it's fall season, but for all of us, it's basketball season. Pro and college ball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. The NCAA is back in action, and it's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to the Spartans carving up defenses. Cassius Winston returns for his senior year, trying to prove that he has what it takes to bring a championship to Michigan State. Or, like our listeners, if you're a big NBA fan, big Bulls fan, use that basketball knowledge, that NBA knowledge, to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's right, promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, Coby White, y'all, that kid can ball. In his NBA debut, the UNC product off the bench dropped 17 points on 6 of 13 shooting, only hit one of his 4 three-point attempts, but did go 4 of 5 from the free throw line, adding 7 assists and 3 rebounds, only turned the ball over one time. Now, we saw a big shift in Kobe's three-point game between his summer league exhibition games, where it did not go well. I think he was like 1 or 2 of like 30 attempts, and everyone was kind of panicking about his shot translating to the NBA three-point line. Then we saw him ball out behind the three-point line in the preseason, but also we're kind of talking about how he's certainly more of a shooting guard than a point guard, didn't really have that many assists, didn't display a whole lot of playmaking ability for his teammates, but boy, did he display some playmaking ability and some scoring ability for himself. Well, in his debut Wednesday night, we saw both. I couldn't believe it when I went back the box score and saw that Kobe had 7 assists, but then going back and reliving the game, I remember a couple of really nice dimes that Kobe had in addition to his buckets, some of which where he was attacking the basket, beating his man off the dribble, and finishing, twisting and contorting through bodies, going through the trees at the rim. Really, really impressive stuff. We also saw Coby White deal with a couple of, you know, mental breakdowns, some mental mistakes in this game. Earlier on, as Markkanen was establishing his dominance in the interior, Coby White was bringing the ball up. He had the ball at the left elbow, and Markkanen had a mismatch on the block. And Coby didn't see it, or maybe he did, and he decided, I'm going to get up one more shot, because he was about to sub out of his current stretch on the floor for whatever reason. But I think it was that he just didn't recognize the mismatch that Markkanen had. Coby jacked up an ill-advised three. It's a miss, and the ball's going the other way. So that is something that, you know, hopefully Coby will continue to develop his basketball IQ in those scenarios, and hopefully his coaches will point that out to him when they go back and watch the film. There you had a missed opportunity. Markkanen had a mismatch on him, and instead you took a three. So the other one to me that was frustrating to see was Coby leading the break in the fourth quarter, and he waits like a second too long to dish the ball off to his running mate who was running the floor with him in the fast break, and instead gets called for the offensive foul. He gets called for the charge, and that was when the Bulls were up 10. That could have pushed the lead to 12. Instead, what happens is right then the Hornets go on that run and just completely eliminate that 10-point lead. So a tough momentum swing there. You know, an example of Kobe still needing to work on his decision making and his ability to distribute in the right moments and attack the basket himself in the right moments. But, you know, those are two nitpicky things that I noticed about Kobe's game last night. But as a whole, looking at his performance in his NBA debut, getting to the free throw line, getting to the basket with relative ease, using his speed and athleticism. And even on a night where, as I said, he only knocked down one of his 4 3-point attempts, he still finished with 17 and 7 in 27 minutes. This kid is great. Now, there was a lot of Kobe White love on Bulls Twitter last night after the game. They got to start this kid. Put him in the starting lineup. Satoransky had a bad game. Kobe White is earning this starting spot. I'm telling all y'all to pump the brakes. What we saw from Kobe and Chris Dunn in that second unit, it continued to look like a pretty solid second unit backcourt. We saw them starting to gel a little bit in the preseason. We saw how effective they can be in tandem, where Kobe is using his offensive skills and his aggressiveness on that end of the floor and his speed and complementing it well with the above-average talents of Chris Dunn on the defensive end. Dunn can guard the better, more dangerous backcourt guy for our opponents. A lot of Dunn's defense, including some big steals, created opportunities for the Bulls to get some easy buckets. Dunn's defense led to two of the runs that the Bulls made in this game in the second half when they were coming back from an 8-point deficit at halftime. Kobe and Chris Dunn appear to have something together in that second unit. And Kobe will continue to get some run with some of the starters, as we saw in the fourth quarter last night. But to make him the starting point guard of this team, I mean, he played 27 minutes last night. Satoransky, who started, played 24. I know that Bulls fans are excited to take the training wheels off of this Kobe kid, and right now he is proving more so than not that he is ready for the big stage and the bright lights. The kid is fearless, and he's talented. But when the wheels fell off of that Bulls offense in the fourth quarter, Kobe White was a guilty party on a couple of occasions. And when the ball gets stuck, the Bulls offense fails. The ball doesn't get stuck with Satoransky. I mentioned that in the previous segment when talking about Boylan's rotation decision down the stretch. So look, you know, at some point down the road, can we see Kobe White being a starter on this Bulls team? Abso-freaking-lutely. Can he play with LaVine in the backcourt efficiently? I'm not entirely sure, because neither of them are a playmaker first. And you got to have somebody out there on the floor whose job it is to make sure that everybody's getting their touches and the ball keeps moving. That's why they signed Satoransky, to be that guy. You put LaVine and Kobe White in the backcourt together, and it can turn into a younger, different, maybe more entertaining, and maybe better version of what we saw with Derek and Jimmy, or Jimmy and Wade. My turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. It's the same shit that doesn't work with Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. You know what does appear to work? Satoransky playing with LaVine, Markkanen in that starting unit. You know what does appear to work? Kobe White and Chris Dunn complementing each other very well in that second unit. So I get the Kobe White hype. The kid is awesome. And he has earned the minutes he got in that NBA debut. And he will continue to earn minutes in this rotation. Significant minutes. But I think he is best suited to be where he is now, as an electric scorer off the bench, complemented by an elite defensive guard who is matched in that backcourt with him. So those are my biggest thoughts and takeaways from the Bulls season opener. We got another shot at a victory against another beatable opponent tomorrow night when the Bulls take on Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the first end of a back-to-back as the Bulls have their home opener Saturday night against the defending champion Toronto Raptors. Until then, I believe Jordan will take you into the weekend with some mailbag content on tomorrow's show. I'll be off tomorrow. Have a great weekend, Bulls fans. As always, hit up that text to voicemail line for mailbag thoughts and questions and comments. Your thoughts on their opening loss to Charlotte. 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Bulls underscore Peck. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. And be sure to tune in to Bulls Outsiders following the Bulls back-to-back games Friday and Saturday night on NBC Sports Chicago. Have a great weekend, Bulls fans. Thanks for listening. As always, peace and love, and I'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com